excited. You know, what God is doing. What God is doing. And I know there'll be times when it'll be challenging, but we keep on pressing through. So, Father, we ask for release of your word. Father, we ask for freedom to come in the word of God in a fresh new way. But Father, 2019, oh Lord, we will walk in our true identity. We will walk, Lord, in our true freedom in you, Jesus. In our placement in you, Jesus. Father, we ask, Lord, let the good news of the gospel reach our ears, our heads, our minds, our spirits deeper, Lord Jesus, and in a fresh new way, Father. That, Father, the kingdom that we have inherited, Lord Jesus, would become more evident in our lives and our thinking, Lord. We ask, Lord Jesus, we want to build on that foundation that you have set, Jesus, through the cross and the resurrection 2,000 years ago. We ask, Lord, Lord, we want to move in the reality of that in a deeper, more meaningful way, Lord, than ever before, we ask, Lord Jesus. Take us on in you, Jesus, for your purposes and for your sake. Amen.
Is it projecting through the Wi-Fi? Do you know?
No, it's through this.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? I'm up.
If you have your Bible, let's turn to, as you've seen on the slide already, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you turn there. And, like Daryl said, I'm excited for this series. Partially because, this isn't something for me that we're, that we've done this before, this kind of a series before, and we're just kind of rehashing something from the past. This is something that's, opening and developing for me, now. Which is a little bit scary to think about, for me to be able to have it planned out and say it's going to go this long, and these people see speak and talk about these things, but I don't know right now. Beyond mid-February, I don't know where this is going. So, it's funny, but that's a little bit uneasy for me. But this is a series that it's kind of coming out of, who remembers what we talked about for the Advent season, going into Christmas, 2018? Who remembers what we kind of titled that? Series. Introducing the Kingdom.
Yeah.
10 points for Marichal.
Yeah.
You did nothing. And we looked at Jesus coming as that he was coming to introduce a new kingdom, a new way of living, just something totally different, something that's the opposite of what we're used to. We wanted to kind of carry on with that into this next series and looking more at the kingdom of God. And as I've been kind of chewing on this and meditating on this, the whole thing of Jesus as our foundation has been what's coming up. And this absolutely speaks to characteristics and truths about the kingdom of God. But I wanted to jump into just calling this foundation because I wanted to, in a sense, simplify and clarify the language of and just hone in on, not talk about things of the kingdom or this, that, but hone in on Jesus Christ as our foundation. And the outworking of that. What does that mean? What does that look like? How does that affect my life? Right? And so that's kind of the idea and the thought process behind this. And actually, as you'll see, it's kind of a new aspect or a new idea of Jesus as our foundation. Waking up in me. So that's, I want to try to unpack that a little bit today. And so, we're in 1 Corinthians. You've already turned there, I hope. Something that's interesting to me about the two letters to the Corinthians is that one thing we know is that Corinth was a very, very carnal city, a very carnal culture. And this church was right in the middle of it, and they struggled with some of those characteristics or whatever, those aspects of a carnal culture, they struggle with that within the church. And Paul was addressing that a lot. And I I find that significant for us because we live in a very, very carnal society. Like, one of the main mantras or rules for living in the Western world is, if it feels good, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how people determine right and wrong, is whether it feels good. It's all about gratification of the flesh, whether that's a literal, you know, fleshly desire or just selfish living in general. Like, that's the norm, right? And so that's by definition a carnal culture. Like, it's all about the gratification of what I want, what my soul wants, what my flesh wants. And so I think a lot of stuff that is laid out in the to the Corinthians is very, very applicable for us. And so I find it interesting at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, just to kind of lead into what we're going to talk about, he kind of opens with a greeting. And a note about how he says, I thank my God that you come short in no gift, lacking. You've received the Holy Spirit, and you're lacking in no spiritual gifts. Just there's an emphasis right off the bat of the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be experiencing life in the Spirit. And then he quickly addresses sectarianism. And so, like, what was going on in the church there is people were identifying with one of these different apostles. Guys saying, I'm with Paul, I'm of the church of Paul, and someone's saying, yeah, but, you know, I relate more to Peter, so I'm with Peter. Others saying, I like Apollos, he did more for me than those two. So the church is identifying and in a sense building their identity as believers based on one of these guys who came through and ministered to them and helped build that church. And Paul says, no, you got it all wrong. He's like, that is not what we did. It's not what we built in you. And in chapters, the end of chapter 1 and in chapter 2, he kind of lays out, remember how you started, remember what you were built on. And he says, I came to you preaching the message of the cross. And in the beginning of chapter 2, he even makes that statement, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's like, I didn't preach anything else. I came to you preaching Jesus, the one who descended to earth, who put on flesh, became man, lived a holy life, was crucified unjustly, and rose again from the dead. It's like, that's all I preached. That's it. And you believed not because my preaching was really good, but because when I preached, you then saw the Holy Spirit move in power to affirm and support what I had said. So it's not that my preaching was great. He says, I didn't come to you with, you know, smooth speech and, you know, flashy visuals and things like that. I came to you in fear and trembling. If you remember, we looked at this in the series of Acts. He had just suffered, by Paul's standards, a failure at Mars Hill, where he preached a real catchy sermon, and the response was, wow, that was very good. How about you come back and tickle our ears next week, too? And there was no response to the gospel. There were very few who were converted. And Paul left that place in agony, I believe, going, that was a waste of time. I don't want to know anything else other than the power of God when I preach. That people would not be drawn by my words, but by the power of God. That was his heart. And so that's what he preached in Corinth. And he's reminding them, when you were planted, so Paul went in there was no believers that we know of in Corinth, and he built a church from scratch, right? Like, people got saved. He got there. He started working, going tents and stuff. He, just in his interactions, people got saved. People came to the Lord, and he built that church up just by preaching, this is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. He said, that's all you were built on. That's all. So we come to 1 Corinthians 3 here, okay? And he addresses this sectarianism again. He says, so why, if we built you on Jesus, why are you now all of a sudden saying, I'm built on Paul, or I'm built on Apollos, or I'm built on Peter? Why are you doing that? Like, how am I going to improve you any more than the foundation you're built on, which is Jesus? And I want to read here from verse 4. When one of you says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? And if you remember, Apollos was one, he's mentioned briefly in Acts, where after Paul was in Corinth, he planted the church, did some building there, and then he moved on. And then it's that Apollos came in afterwards. and Apollos stuck on it, and he was a teacher. And he taught, and he expanded more, he opened the word more, and so on. So he was there for a while, and no doubt he had disciples of his own, right? People that he built into and mentored and discipled and built up, okay? So that's kind of where that was coming from. And verse 5, Paul says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But were ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase." So just like a farmer can only do so much. He can till the ground, he can plant the seeds, he can, in some cases they provide water, a lot of times they just depend on rain, they can fertilize, they can do stuff like that. But in the end, the farmer, in and of himself, cannot make anything grow. Right? They're dependent on the natural way of life, these systems and laws that are in place in creation by God, photosynthesis and all these things that work together to actually grow a plant. Right? That it's God who gives the increase. And Paul's reminding him of that. He says, so neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. They're the same. He's saying there's no, one is not more important than the other. They're both critical parts of the process, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So he's saying we've just done our jobs. That's all we're doing. Like, don't celebrate us. Don't build on us. We just did our jobs. And for we are God's fellow workers. We're on the same plane. We're on the same level. We're fellow workers together in the kingdom of God. That's all we're doing. We're just workers. And in a sense, he's saying, we're just like you. We're just workers like you. Right? A cool thing I've heard from, this is kind of something Steve Best has been chewing on. He talked with us about once last year. And I've been thinking about it as well. He's talking about these five-fold ministry gifts, not as a hierarchy, but more of a chronology. It's not that, like, and we give honor where honor is due, absolutely. But he's saying this thought of apostles aren't necessarily supposed to be the chief and the boss over everybody, but it's the first that comes. When a church is established, you want the apostles and the prophets there to help lay foundation, to give a starting point, and then evangelists, pastors, and teachers come and build on that. It's more of a chronology or a succession of gifts when they're needed. It's not saying one is more important than another.
Yeah.
They're all important. So he's saying I'm not more important than Apollos because I came and laid the foundation. And Apollos is not more important than me because he taught and helped build on what I laid. Like, we're all necessary.
Yeah.
We're equal. We're fellow workers. That's it. So don't identify with me or him or whatever. That doesn't get you ahead. Right?
Yeah.
Saying, go back to how you first came in, to what you did at first. So he says this, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Okay, so it's almost like he kind of shifts the analogy a bit here. He's been talking about us as a field, and now he starts talking about us as a building. And I need you to bear with me here, because I'm the kind of guy, like, if I'm walking down the sidewalk and chewing gum, I should probably, like, stop to take a couple of chews and then keep walking. I do one thing at a time. All right, I'm pretty simple. And so I hope you can bear with me as I try to talk and play with Duplo at the same time. This is going to be a little challenging. A little ghetto, a little sketchy. But here, he says, you are God's building. Okay? And here, let's read a couple more verses here. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And I get this, he says, and then another builds on it. But let each one take heed as to how he builds on it. Okay? He said, by the grace of God, by the gift of God that he gave me, I came in and helped lay a foundation in your life. Okay? So here's the thing. When you believed on the Lord, when you came to him, when you said the prayer to ask Jesus in your heart or whatever, okay, two things happened. One, you were forgiven, instantly forgiven of all your sins. Okay? And your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But a second thing happened, and it was you entered into this analogy of being a builder. Okay? And God gave you a new foundation. And it's as he said later in Corinthians, he said, the old is gone, the new has come, you're a new creation. okay? Starting from scratch, you have a foundation, and Paul says here, let each one take heed as to how he builds on that foundation, okay? And then he makes a statement where he says, and again, bear with me if I lose my thought process a couple times here. I haven't played with Duplo forever. You try to build with your kids, and they get mad when you mess up what they're building, right? So you got to just sit back and watch. So anyways, but then he makes a statement in the very next verse, and he says, there's no other foundation that anyone can lay other than Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's your foundation. When you came to the Lord, that became your foundation. It was Jesus. And now, the rest of your life, you spend building a building on this foundation. And he says, let each one take heed as to how he builds on that foundation. Okay? So for the rest of our lives, we're building. We're building something. And kind of like I'm really poorly doing here right now, okay? It's going to be small, but I think it should get the point across if I do it halfway. Okay? So in talking about this and looking at this, I'll give you something to look at up here while I do this. Okay, introduction to the series. There we go. 1 Corinthians 3, 4 to 11. We just read that, didn't we? Excellent. Come on. Okay. So, in looking at this, I look, and Fred or anyone else, feel free to correct me if this is wrong. But what I found is foundations serve three primary purposes. And the first one is they have to bear the load of the building. Okay? They have to provide structural support. And that's the one I think we most often think of. When we think about a foundation, we think of the foundation is there for strength and support, right? It has to support, actually kind of interesting the wording, live loads and dead loads. It has to be able to support, the foundation has to be strong enough to support the dead load of the building, which is the structure itself, but then also the live load. That's you and me and whatever else coming and going throughout the day and night. Any loads that come into the building, that foundation has to be strong enough to support the structure and everything coming and going within it. So that's the first thing.
Exterior loads too,
okay? Yep, there you go, perfect. Thank you. And the second thing, it has to be able to anchor the building against natural forces. So if you think about like earthquakes or erosion or wind, yeah, like all these different things, the foundation has to be able to support or anchor the building against these external forces. And then the third one has to be able to isolate the building and keep it from ground moisture. Prevent rot from setting in the structure. Did I do okay? Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Good. 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 All right. No engineering heresy so far. That's good. All right. And so here's what I've kind of been pondering, and it's on that first one, the base of that first one that just that idea of. Foundation is for support, it's for strength. And I kind of realized something is that the foundation also serves a purpose of providing the footprint or the shape for the building. Okay? Like, so if this is my, so here's what we're doing here, okay? To kind of explain this. I didn't quite have enough to cover the whole thing, but this is my foundation. Okay? This little table is my foundation. And so I'm charged by Paul to take heed on as to how I build on this foundation. So what I'm kind of doing here, there's a few extra pieces here, but I kind of have it all together. Just for those of you listening at home, this is a very crude and ugly structure I've built here with various mismatched colors of Duplo. Okay, I basically built just two rounds here. And you kind of get the idea, I haven't built right to the edge here, but I've built according to the shape of the foundation, right? Kind of see that? Everybody see that? Okay, all right. So when our structure is built to the footprint of the foundation, it works. It's strong. The structure can withstand those forces that come against it, right? But what happens if I build according to my own footprint? What happens if I have this foundation here, But, you know, I just heard this, I forget who I was talking to, someone said they saw, there's a property for sale, I think out on York Road, and it's just, it's a big lot and a foundation. That's all that's there. And it's like, it's up for like $750,000. It's, you know, the sales pitch, and build your dream 3,000 square foot home on this. That's all it's about. It's kind of funny, right? Yeah, whoever sells that, great job. Great. But, so what if the people who buy that new property come in and they say, you know what, I don't like that footprint. I'm just going to build this however I want on top of it. Right? Right? Not a good idea, right? Like, okay, so that it has this, you know, this 90-degree corner here, but I want to do something like this around the corner there. I want my structure to look like this. Who cares what the foundation looks like? Okay? So the thought process, how this applies to us is, we come to the Lord, we get this new foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and Jesus, in his life, in his teachings, and even in things that he says about his life and teachings, a couple of those we'll pull out, they show us this basic shape of what our life ought to look like. It's this footprint of what should be present in our lives. And the thing is, if we say, you know what, I'm going to pick and choose on some of these, I'm going to, you know, I like the sounds of this one. You know, I like the sounds of joy. So I'll build on that wall. But, you know, the holiness thing or the compassion thing or like some of these, take it or leave it. I like my bitterness. I like my anger. I like my selfishness. I like some of those just the way they are. Don't touch those, please. We start to build according to our own footprint. And now all of a sudden our structure is not being built on that foundation. The foundation is there, but we have to take heed as to how we build on it. And there's two ways. He goes on in the following verses talking about the materials we use to build on it, which I think most simply boils down to the quality of the choices we make. Right? Like he says, you want to build with gold and silver and precious stones. The way we spend our time, the way we spend our energy, our money, things like that, are we doing it in such a way that lines up with the kingdom of God, or are we just spending it on ourselves, on our own interests? Am I spending all my money on entertainment? Right? Nothing wrong with good entertainment, but is that all I'm spending my time and money on? Am I spending it on things that I want? Am I spending it on, you know, luxury comfort for myself, but neglecting the poor, neglecting the widows and the orphans, neglecting, you know, like we know there's clear things in the Word that he gives us as, this is, if you do this, this is what pleases my heart. There's a lot of that in the Word. And if we say, you know what, I'd rather not, well then Paul likens that to building with wood and hay and stubble. He talks about the building we build in our life being tested with fire at the end of our life. And he says, and here's the thing to catch, he doesn't say we lose salvation if we built a poor building. He says, in verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So it's this thing of, if we build our life with decisions that just gratify the flesh, like if that's our primary concern, we build with wood and hay and stubble, and it'll be burned up. And we're still saved, okay? You still have salvation, but you've got, all you have left is a foundation. You've built enough of lasting value in the kingdom. Right? This goes back to Jesus saying, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and moth destroy all this stuff. If you spend your entire life trying to build a financial empire, you could do a really good job of that here and have nothing to show for it. If the accumulation of wealth is your only concern, you would have nothing but a foundation to show for it. But for those who are faithful in, like for example, in business and faithful to what the Lord asks of them and how they conduct their business, what they do with the income, all that stuff, there's reward. Just in the act of obedience with what you do and how you steward the revenues from that business. Like that's just again just one example. But there's this thing of do we make our choices towards the Lord or towards ourselves? And that determines the quality of the structure. But there's this factor again of, am I just building my life the way I want to? Or am I following the footprint that was laid out? Okay? Because this is the exact same structure that went on the foundation. Pretty strong. Who's ready for this? Anybody? Doesn't do so well if it's built to my own footprint.
Uh-oh,
that's right. And when it's your life, that's a big uh-oh, right? Here's the thing I want to get at is that, there we go. We know the foundation equals strength and stability and support. That's what the foundation is there for. But, wait for it, there it is. Only if the structure follows the footprint of the foundation, right? That makes sense? Okay. And this is the thing that's been kind of, I've been chewing on for the last month. It's just this idea that we know that Jesus, our firm foundation, he's strong, he's secure, he's stability for us, but we don't get to tap into that strength and stability if we're building our building the way we want to. And if we're deciding where we put our walls. We're deciding what the shape of the building looks like. Does that make sense? Okay, is this kind of landing? Good. Because what we want to do is we want to take this next series and look at what are these, kind of what are the dimensions of, or what are the walls of the foundation of Jesus that we have in our life? What is the line on, you know, on the east side, like what is the, just as an example, different characteristics we're going to look at in these next few weeks, like freedom. We're going to look at next week of how Jesus declared that one of the purposes for his coming and us coming to him in his kingdom is that we would experience and live in freedom. Okay? So our life ought to have that element of freedom true in it. Okay? Joy is another one Daryl's going to talk about. And I'm excited for that one again. Like, that's something we can hear over and over and over again. It's like, if we prefer bitterness and anger and grumpiness, right? Which is funny, it sounds silly to say it, but there's a comfort in, I know this, right? I'm familiar with it. I know how to carry myself in it, so I'd rather just stay here and walk in joy, right? Well, that's out of line with the foundation we've laid for us. Okay? Uh-oh, that's right. Here comes an uh-oh from there, right? And so these are the things we're going to look at, okay? And it's the idea is, when we look at some of these factors that Jesus has stated or shown of, this is what is to be in your life. This is the foundation I've given you. This is the shape of it. He says, I want, your life needs to mirror this if you want the full benefits of the structure, of the strength and support and stability that comes with being built on it. Right? Because if I pick and choose the parts I want to build to, I'm not getting the full benefit of that firm foundation. Right? We want to build to the exact specifications that he's laid out. And so with this, there's a thing of, like, so the thought that can come is, for example, joy. Okay, we're talking about joy. I don't have joy. I have to grit my teeth and make myself joyful. No, that's not, you know, these are things that are available through him. And so the two things I would say as we go into this series is number one, the way we respond is, the first thing is to believe that these things are actually for you. Okay? Yeah. Sometimes we can hear some of this stuff and go, oh, that's good for so-and-so. Like, you know, they're generally happy, so they get the joy thing. Right? No, this is something that's for you as a believer.
Yeah.
This is for you. And Jesus said in John 6:29, he said, the work of the kingdom is to believe. It's to believe. It's that first thought when you hear something, again, the example of joy is to be a hallmark of the believer's life. And that thought that says, oh, that's for them. That's not for me. That's unbelief right there.
Yeah.
Right there. The enemy is there with unbelief immediately. That's the point of attack. What our first response is to contend to believe. And it's not that you have to work that up, but I love the one response to Jesus, where Jesus says something about asking for a miracle or something, she said, just believe and it'll be done. And the person replied, I believe, but help my unbelief. Right? It can feel like a contradiction, but there's times where we bring just a little bit of faith that we have, and we ask him to help with all the unbelief that accompanies it. Okay? The point of this is not to just listen and And that was great. I'll tuck that away in the archives and whatever. No, the point of this is let's engage with God on these things.
Yeah.
Let's wrestle with him in a sense, like Jacob did, until these things are formed in our lives. Because if we don't, if we keep walking with these things absent from our life, mm-hmm. we're actually not as stable and secure as we think we are. Mm-hmm. And we're not actually looking like Jesus. And so as a church, and that's what we want, right? Like just, again, some of the words from last week, we want Jesus coming out of us. We want him in us. We want to take on his character, his personality. We want him shining through who we are, right? And I love that, the partnership here in 1 Corinthians 3 of God says, I give you the foundation, now you get to build on it. There's partnership in this. It's not, here, sit back, I'll do everything. He wants our partnership in this. He wants our engagement. And so we believe, we fight to believe, we do the work of the kingdom, which is to believe that this is true, this is real, this is for me. And then I would say also engage with him in prayer on these things, right? This is the wrestling. We want to agree with them that this is true. This is what you want for me. You want me full of joy. Not to say this is the standard and you have to live to it or you failed. No, it's his heart is that we would be full of joy.
Yeah.
His heart is that we would actually enjoy our lives. Mm-hmm. That's his heart for us.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's good. So first thing we want to do is we want to agree with him on the blueprint. We want to say, yes, this is something I need in my life. We want to ask him to do it. Okay? Because these are things that he releases in us. You know, and I know I've asked this question before, but I think back to my own life when I first came to the Lord, a lot of this stuff comes like instantly. Right? I remember being full of joy. I remember that. I remember like just so many of these different elements we'll talk about were there. Freedom, things like that. But then they're challenged. Right? Are challenged.
Yeah.
Temptation comes. You know, sin, we struggle. We're faced with our own weakness eventually. And then, again, the accuser comes in and says, there, see that? You blew it. You don't deserve this now. Right? There it is. That unbelief. So we want to ask him to restore these things.
Yeah.
And then we want to, then the last one, the wrestle thing. We want to, like Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. Keep coming. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep contending for this stuff. Because when it comes, again, the enemy wants to steal it. The enemy wants to steal this again. We want to contend for this stuff. We want to contend for these things to be true in our life. That's what we want. And just want to finish with a couple scriptures. There we go. Hey, that was quick. Good. Colossians 2. Just want to turn there real quick. Just want to read a few verses. We're just going to wrap up with these two passages. It says the same kind of thing in different words. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 6 to 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in. Okay? You've received Christ Jesus the Lord, this foundation. And this wording of so walk in him to me is the same as so build to that shape. Build to those dimensions. Build to that footprint. Walk in him. Mirror him. You know, seek for your life to mirror what his looked like. It's the same principle, it's the same truth. Rooted and built up in him. Again, that's similar language here. Built on that foundation, rooted in him, and then built up in him. Build on this foundation of Jesus Christ. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. That's a huge one. And then 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Here I hear that thing of, beware lest anyone cheat you, beware lest anyone convince you to build a different way, to build to a different pattern. Beware if the world tells you, you know what, you deserve this, you deserve vindication or vengeance on this thing. You deserve that, you should go after that. No, actually, Jesus calls us to forgive, as we're forgiven, right? So like things like that, beware lest anyone cheat you out of building on this foundation he's given you. Beware lest anyone sway you from that. Because in him dwells all the fullness. This is beautiful. Meditate on this. In Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yeah.
Meditate on that. All the glory and wonder and majesty and everything of the Godhead of the Trinity is summed up, it's wrapped up, it's expressed in Jesus Christ. In that one human frame. Which is...
Yeah.
And you are, and here's the thing, you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete, you are whole, you are made mature in Him. This is why we want to build on Him. That's where you want to find your best self. It's found in Him. It's found in Him. He provides the foundation. He provides the shape. And He says, now if you build your life to this shape, you will find the best version of yourself. It's still you that's building with Him. It's still, when I build on my foundation, it's still Brad that goes on to the foundation, right? It's still my life being built, but I want to build it in Him. That's when I find the best, the most attractive building I can build, the strongest building I can build, whatever, the safest, whatever, you name it. My best self is found in Him. We want to grow up into Him. That's kind of the wording from Colossians there. And then also in 2 Corinthians 3, again, this one of, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into the same image. And that's the process we want to go on here, is we want to examine our lives. How am I building? When we look at these different topics, how am I building in relation to joy? Right? And I want to be transformed into the image of Jesus as I behold and meditate and behold Jesus in that light. When I look at the joy of Jesus in His life and just the fact that He wants it in my life, we want to be transformed in that same image. That's why we wrestle with it. That's why we keep asking Him. That's why we keep talking to Him about it. That's all prayer is talking with, dialoguing with God about these things. Yeah. And I want to say this again, we don't want to just listen and file it away. Keep dialoguing with Him on it. And it's funny how simple this is, but when we keep it front of mind and we keep asking Him about it and talking to Him about it, He starts to form it in us.
Yeah.
I've been struck with this again. The kingdom of God is so stupidly simple in so many ways. It really, really is. It sounds so simple that can't be true. But like, it's really, really simple how He set this up. And so just this simple act of talking with Him and engaging with Him on these topics, He starts to build it in us. It's as simple as beholding or thinking about it, setting our gaze on it, meditating on it. We start to be transformed into that same image. Okay? So over these next weeks, months, whatever, we're going to bring up these different things that are like, this is one of the lines of the foundation. This is one of the lines. This is one of the lines. Meditate on it and let Him transform you and build that into your life. Like, He can take walls that we've built off kilter and He can correct them. He can get them back in line with the foundation. And so that's what we're going to do over this next season. Does that sound all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Not so much. That's funny. That's what we want to talk about. So with that, let's stand. I know it's a little bit different way of thinking about foundation. My heart has really been, this last month, thinking about this, praying about this, is that the shape of our lives, the shape of our building, would match the shape of the foundation. And just that in that place, we know all the benefits of the strength and stability and support that He offers. We know the full benefit of being built on that foundation. And so, Father, we thank You for who You are.
Yeah.
We thank You for Jesus, who came the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, and just how He lived, how He died, how He rose again, how He loves, how He forgives, all of these things. We thank You that You've given us Him as a foundation, as a starting point, that You would allow us to build our lives on Him. Thank You for that. That You've made Yourself so accessible. Even how You've made Yourself the foundation, not the walls, not the roof, not the showy stuff, but You've made Yourself our foundation. Thank You for that. You serve us even in that. And Lord, I just ask for revelation for us. I ask that You would that you would make this clear to our hearts. Lord, where my words have fallen short, would you just reveal this truth to us? And Lord, would you give us a desire for our building to match your foundation, to line up with you, to line up with your kingdom? And Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come and make each of these come alive to us. We pray that we would, as we go through this series, we would be further and further transformed and renewed and made into your image, made to look like you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for how you've already brought us along so far. We ask you to do more of it. Do more, do more, do more. We say we're not satisfied with where we're at. We want more of you. We want more of your kingdom. We want more of your essence. We want more of your spirit. Father, thank you for this. Again, write this stuff on our hearts. And I ask that you begin to start opening this stuff to our hearts even now. Before they're talked about, Lord, would you lead us to these principles in the Word and just take us on a journey and make us look more like you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great. Good start. Thanks, Brad. Just want to give opportunity for anybody who wants to respond to prayer.